And so we're going to turn together for a few moments to God's word and to that reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians and chapter 12. Our text this morning is verse 7 of those first 11 verses from 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul says, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. From one to each for all. We began our service this morning by really setting out our stall in our opening hymn. We repeated there the words, "Jesus is Lord." It is the proclamation of all who believe in Christ as Lord and Saviour. And in our gospel reading, we heard the account of Christ's first miracle. It was notable in itself for that. But why, apart from being the first miracle of Jesus, did John include it in his gospel? Was it to say what wonderful wine Jesus made from water? Impressive. Was it to say how delighted the master of the feast was and how pleased the guests were with this wonderful wine that had been saved till the very last? Or maybe it was to tell us about the simple, straightforward faith and trust in her son of Mary, who said, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Well, thereby hangs a sermon. But not one for this morning. John gives us that account, indeed, for all these reasons. But he draws us to a turning point, for the miracle was a moment of catalyst. For in verse 11, as he concludes the account, John writes that Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Jesus revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. What a wonderful thing to encounter the glory of Jesus and to believe in him for who and what he is. And that is where we begin this morning in our thoughts. Having in whatever way Jesus came into our lives, encountered his glory. We too declare, Jesus is Lord. That's the fundamental starting point that must underpin our thoughts as we turn now to reflect on Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And so our text, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Here, I think, is the main point of this passage. There are three phrases which I invite us to look at. The first, each one. To each one is given. That's you and me, all of us who are Christians and each of us individually. Second, the word Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's God. That same God who brooded over the waters of creation and joined in the creation of the universe. And finally, the phrase, common good. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. From one to each for all. We'll look at the background of these verses for a moment. Paul had founded the Christian community in Corinth around AD 50, and he stayed with them for about 18 months or so. The church at Corinth existed in a very secular and sensual city. The people all around the church were concerned with pleasure, athletics, and especially commercial and personal affluence. How could a church function in such an environment? Well, 1 Corinthians was written to answer that concern, and the answer that was given is important to us as well, because in so many ways, the church today exists in a similar world. Within the church itself, Paul, when he'd moved on to Ephesus, heard reports of disturbing behaviour on the part of some of the believers there. Factions were forming. A hostile and a quarrelsome spirit had developed. And there indeed had been a little bit of a fractious relationship with Paul himself. But Paul kept up a correspondence with them and responded with advice to the questions that the church at Corinth asked him. And this passage that we have in 1 Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts. And so we look together at two each. Who, I wonder, are these each ones to whom the manifestation of the Spirit is given? Are we included in that, I wonder? The each ones in the church in verse 7, in Corinthians, in Corinth, were those who were pagans who'd been led away from Christ by idols. Idols that have nothing to say. Idols with no message, no good news. And I would suggest to us that there's much in the marketplace in our society today, in the marketplace of what people turn to for help and support, that is similar. It has no message and certainly no good news. Our communities, our world need good news. And this is it. This is the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit, the each ones, are people who have ceased treating Jesus as a curse to be rejected and now follow him as Lord. So the essence of the each ones are people who recognize and practice the Lordship of Jesus in their lives. People who aim to think the way that Jesus thinks. People whose aim is to feel the way that Jesus feels in the circumstances that they encounter in their day-to-day lives. And people who aim to do what Jesus says that they should do. These are the people who have a manifestation of the Spirit, because they can't live like this except by the Spirit. For the hallmark of living under the Lordship of Jesus is very different from just saying Jesus is Lord. In Matthew 7, 22, 23, Jesus himself said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Practicing the Lordship of Jesus for each one is an issue that cannot be done except by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We certainly cannot do it in our own strength and of our own resolve. We need to submit to the work of the God Spirit within us. Paul said, "No one can say Jesus is Lord and mean it except by the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit's main business in the world is to glorify Jesus and to make his lordship real in people's lives. When I was young, many, many moons ago, it was the era of several faith-based musicals. And they came from the pen of a dynamic writing duo called John Gowans and John Larson. And one of them carried the name Spirit. And in the musical was a refrain that in those days was often used in prayer. And when groups came together to prayer, and the refrain said, "To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me, his Spirit filling me. Like him, I'll be." People who, the each ones, are people who have set their face to be like Jesus, and by his grace and in the power of the Spirit, to be at one with him. And so let's think for a moment about that Spirit. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. In verse 11, Paul says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This verse emphasizes two things. One Spirit behind all the varieties of gifts. One Spirit and the gifts. One and the same Spirit works all these things. Look at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are many varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God. Paul clearly wants us to get the message. We are each different in our gifts and our ministries, no doubt about it. But those differences are not set up to be stumbling blocks to us or to cause divisions and factions. If that happens, then the perceived gifts are certainly not of the Spirit. For the gifts of the Spirit are from one and the same Spirit, from one to each, and the Spirit's variety is unity. The other thing verse 11 emphasizes is that the Spirit is the one who will decide what is given. All of these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. That's why it's a gift. Just think about that word gift for a moment. I mentioned earlier that last month we would have been very much thinking about gifts. And I overheard about a young woman who was complaining to her friend that her mother-in-law had said to her, oh, I've chosen Jane's gift for you. I've got Jane's gift for you. Well, Jane happened to be her husband's sister. And the woman, the young woman, was quite affronted that her mother-in-law had stepped in and chosen the gift that she would give to her sister-in-law. And she felt, well, I'm the giver. I need to choose the gift. That's not to highlight the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law tension, but it's just to say that usually it is the giver who determines the gift. None more so than with the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. The Spirit is sovereign. That's the point of verse 11. He does what he wills. The diversity of gifts, the diversity of ministries, the diversity of effectiveness is the doing of the Spirit. He is God. He is Father. He is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. And their one divine will comes to expression perfectly in his. So why does this one Spirit give to each one? He gives it for the common good. Verse 7, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For this purpose, the common good, from one to each, for all. The Spirit doesn't give gifts and ministries so that we can boast in our own spiritual prowess. He doesn't give gifts and ministries so that we can operate unilaterally with a, well, it's my gift, so I'm doing it my way kind of an attitude. The gifts that the Spirit gives are not so that we can form some exclusive group whereby we set ourselves up as judge and jury about what gifts we'll allow and which we will choose to disregard. The Holy Spirit gives his gifts for the common good, so that each one may feel that they are comfortable and accepted in bringing the gift that the Holy Spirit has given them for the glory of God. And this surely is what it is all about. the pursuit of God's glory, to make him known for who he really is. From one, to each, for all. And so this morning we might like to reflect. As individuals, are we open to receive the gift that the Holy Spirit wants to give to each one of us? Are we willing to pray and to, through prayer, to dedicate the gifts that he gives us so that they might be made manifest in us? And are we willing to use that gift of the Spirit for the common good? As a community of faith, are we constantly at work to discern the gifts that the Spirit gives to each? Do we pray regularly together for the Spirit's gift? Are we open to the fact that the Spirit, the possibility that the Spirit might activate a new gift within our fellowship, something we had not previously considered? And are we a people of encouragement and love, seeking to enable everyone to discern their Spirit-given gift? As we think of the common good, we can give thanks to God this morning for that wonderful variety of gifts that we find in this community of faith, a variety of gifts that creates unity because they are all from the one Spirit. And I invite us each one, as we continue in worship and as we go from this place, to perhaps be mindful of the gifts that we see in others, and maybe even just take a moment to thank them for the gift that they bring, which enriches the common good here in this place. Amen.